I'm speaking about walking circumspectly. There's a fellow by the name of Craig Hill. I don't know how many of you know of him or of his works. I'm not 100% in favor with everything he says. He gets a little bit into this, if you love God, he's going to prosper you theology. And I'm not sure that financial prospering is necessarily a blessing from God. But Craig Hill does say something very valuable in his book called The Ancient Paths. And I think it would be beneficial for anybody, if you get a chance, to read this book. It's about getting back in touch with God's plan for us as Christians and for the way that we live. And he says that in the ancient times, it's like Jeremiah says, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient pathways where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your soul." Ancient pathways that God has outlined for mankind so that our lives can function the way God wants us to. In fact, the ancient pathways and walking in the ancient pathways means to follow universal life principles that allow our lives to function effectively and successfully. A large part of this ancient pathway has to do with blessings. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, we read, "If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." And in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus is saying these things, "You have heard that it was said by the men of old, but I say to you," in verse 43 and following, he says this, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. If you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And incidentally, he's not talking here about opening the water without spilling it or those kinds of things. He's talking about staying in the pathway of blessing. How important are blessings? Remember the story of Jacob and Esau? And they were getting ready to be blessed by their father. And young Jacob connived and cheated so that he'd get his father's blessing. And Esau, when he found out about that, was ready to kill Jacob when he realized that he'd been cheated out of that blessing. Now that seems to put a pretty strong emphasis on what that blessing meant. In Craig Hill's book, he talks about Jesus going to be baptized by John the Baptist. And when he comes out of the water, the voice of God comes from heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Did you know that that's a literal translation of the blessing that a father gives to his child when his child goes through the bar mitzvah? And only the legitimate father of the child was allowed to give that blessing to the son. And Joseph was a stepfather to Jesus, so he couldn't give it to Jesus. And here we hear God the Father giving this blessing to Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. To me, that seems to be quite significant blessing. In Jewish life, blessings are given to the children by the parents at 7 different times in their life, including at birth, at the coming of age, which is the bar mitzvah, at the starting of a career, at marriage, and the list goes on. How many of you have seen, musical, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, is that it? That one. Anyway, remember when the guy gets his sewing machine? The whole community comes and blesses the sewing machine, but it's bigger than that. It blesses the beginning of the work this man is going to be doing with his sewing machine. And it's very important. 7 different times. How many of you fathers have taken a significant step out of your everyday life to bless your children? You don't have to raise your hands, but think about it. And if you haven't done it, what's to stop you from doing it now? Blessings are spiritual authority and anointing given to release the life functions for generations to come. Think about that. When you bless your children, but this also is when you bless anybody, you are bringing a spiritual authority and an anointing to that person so that they can be released to be the people that God is calling them to be. Craig Hill makes a statement, and I would be inclined to agree with him. America, that includes Canada, is in trouble today because we have stopped blessing our children. We have stopped telling our children that we appreciate them for who they are and that we, as their parents, see in them a future that is going to be good and prosperous and wonderful, that they're going to be great servants for their Lord. To bless means to speak well of, to empower, to prosper. The opposite of blessing is to curse. And to curse is to remove the power to bless. So, Paul says, walk circumspectly. I can't say that the way Bill did. Walk circumspectly. First of all, it means to look. Can you imagine yourself, you being the kid on that skateboard? Is he going to go down the hill? Is he not going to go down the hill? What's going to happen when he reaches the end of that sidewalk? Can he swim? How many of us do things without looking? Just go ahead and do them. It means to be careful to consider all the related circumstances before acting, before making judgments, before deciding what you're going to do. So, be very careful then how you live. As you all know, I've been a pastor for quite a number of years. And I often ask myself, when I catch myself doing things I shouldn't be doing, and I'm not going to tell you what they are because they're not that nice to talk about some of them. I'm a human being. I like Paul says, I do that which I would not, and that which I would that I do not. So, how do the things that I do affect the congregation I'm a pastor of? How do the things that I do affect my children? I don't know which psychologist it was, but I remember reading some material when I was doing marriage counseling. And this author said, if you are the child of parents that lived out of wedlock before you were born, chances are you will have a relationship with somebody before you're married. Is that true? I haven't done a study, but think about it. If you get caught up in a sin, this author said, the devil takes that as his right to visit those sins on your children. Because you've set the precedence. So be very careful then how we live. It makes a difference. It makes a big difference. Live not as unwise people, but as wise. Wise implies the ability to judge and deal with persons and situations in a right manner. It's based on a wide range of knowledge, experience, and understanding. In Proverbs 2, we read, "The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul." Walk not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. To make the most means to make the greatest use of, to take the fullest advantage of. In whatever circumstances you find yourself, or in whatever circumstances become available. Why? Because the times are evil. I don't think I've ever known Ronald McDonald to do anything that deserves him to be arrested. But the times are evil. And these things happen. You've heard people talk about and books written about why bad things happen to good people. It's because the one that has taken over this world, when Adam and Eve gave up their dominion and bowed to Satan's way, he has now taken over this world, and that's all that he's about. When a non-Christian steals, he's not doing anything wrong. He's being consistent with his lifestyle. Think about that. When a person that doesn't know Jesus as Savior does things that society has deemed evil and wrong, they are being consistent and faithful to their lifestyle. That's the world we live in. Pain, harm, trouble, danger, wickedness. Wickedness comes from the root wick. The root wick is the same as is used in the word wicker. You know what wicker is. It's wood, and somebody's taken it and twisted it and bent it and reshaped it and held it that way until it becomes hard and brittle and will not return to its original shape. And when people become wicked, this evil world and the influences in it have taken that person and twisted them and bent them and reshaped them and held them that way until they become brittle. And you can't just go and pop that person out of that state of wickedness, because you would shatter them. It needs love and warmth and moisture and time and patience and all kinds of things to bring that person back to the place where they can be reshaped into the image God intended them to have. The times are evil. That's why we need to walk as wise people. And to walk as wise people, you need to understand what the Father's will is. I can remember as a teenager going to AMYO, that's Alberta Mennonite Youth Organization, conventions and conferences and things, and we would wrestle with what's God's will for our lives. Ever done that? Ever asked, what's God's will for your life? And then we'd see these nice looking young ladies come to AMYO things, and then I wonder which one God has picked out for me. And then I started thinking this way. Maybe it's not the individual items that I need to be focusing on. Maybe it needs to be an overarching philosophy that says that if I desire to be the person God is calling me to be, He'll put everything else in place. And that's scary, because we all want to make sure that we've got everything in place. As I was sitting down there this morning thinking about getting up here and preaching this sermon, and I thought to myself, oh, again, I want to do a good job because I want you to think well of me, right? Now, is that going to get in the way of saying what God wants me to say? And June used to sit back there and she'd go like this, because I'd get up here and my tie would be like this, and she thought I should have it in the middle so I could preach. And all these things run through your mind. And is it me? Or is it what God wants to say through me? And I wrestle with that a lot, because I know myself and I know who I am and what I'm about, and I want you people to like me and to like what I say. Like the guy that was in the choir singing tenor, there were 1,000 people in this choir, you've probably heard this, one tenor, and the choir conductor goes like this and stop. And he points at the tenor and says, you there in the tenor section, tone it down a bit. I'd like to be the guy that, you know, it's way out there in front somewhere. Understand what the Lord's will means is, first and foremost, not to become inebriated, that is, excited and exhilarated by the wine of this world and its glitz and its glamour. Don't get drunk on what this world is about. Rather, be filled with the Spirit. As Jesus is getting ready to go back into heaven, and he's talking to his disciples, and he's with them at the Lord's Supper, the final supper with his disciples, he says to them, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So, walk the walk. To begin with, Paul says, speak to one another. Speak to each other. He adds in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I suppose if you do it that way, you're not going to curse them, you're going to bless them. But speak to each other. psychologist I was reading one time said, you will never sit at a table and have a meal with people that you don't like, because you don't put your knees under the table of people you don't like. That's maybe not true 100% of the time, but it sure is true a lot of the time. Think about that. Who would you not invite to come and have a meal with you? And why? Speak to one another. If we're God's people, if we're Christians, if we're the people that are following God, there should be none of that in our midst. We should be ready and open and willing to embrace each and every person in our community of faith. And then, like Matthew said earlier, even those who persecute us and misuse us and abuse us, who are our enemies. We're to speak to one another with blessing, with the spiritual authority and anointing being passed on from us to those that we speak with, so that their life functions become blessed. And that happens for generations to come. We need to speak well of, empowering people, seeking for them to prosper, speaking well with psalms, lifting one another up and glorifying God, with hymns, honoring each other in praise and honor of God, with spiritual songs, encouraging each other focused on God. In the ancient pathways of God established at creation. Remember, the opposite of blessing is to curse, to remove the power to bless. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, to God. Making the greatest use of, taking the fullest advantage of the time, whenever circumstances and whatever circumstances become available, to focus on and celebrate our Lord and Savior, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God. He's everything, way beyond our imagination. Our Creator, like the psalmist says, He knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. To that God, give thanks always and for everything with gratitude. And submitting to one another. Universal life principles that cause life to function, the blessings, the spiritual authority and the anointing given to release, to speak well of and to empower out of reverence for Christ, blessing and not cursing. To defer and show respect and courtesy to each other, to exercise favor towards each other and empower them to prosper. Out of reverence for Christ. Stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. That's God's way. It's the only way. It's the way to have our life function. Thank you.